Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 18th on the West Coast, now January the 19th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We had a short communication problem there right at the start of the show, and we reestablished our connection, so we apologize if you had to listen to more of my theme music. We played the sad version there to mellow you out. We'd also like to welcome those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Well, lots going on around the world. Certainly, the world's attention, thanks to the mainstream media, has been on Haiti and what is going on there. Of course, we've raised a lot of questions about why no one seemed to care about the fact that the Haitians have not been eating well for decades, and all of a sudden they are concerned about that. We brought up the issues of the central bank, which is ripe for the pickings. We've heard from inside sources that as much as 70% of the Haitian government has passed on, we'll say, as a result of this not-so-natural earthquake, which was likely produced with technology. In fact, multiple sources tell us that that's exactly what happened. The fact that the roads are undamaged is a testament to that fact, and the airport is also undamaged, but yet buildings in Port-au-Prince and some of the other towns are leveled. There are rescue operations going on, and maybe at another time I'll go into that in more depth, but I can tell you that those doing the rescuing are not who you think it might be. With that, I'd like to welcome back the person who's becoming our regular Monday night guest. He is a naturopathic doctor, a researcher, an author, a talk show host of his own show, The Story Behind the Story, which is heard Mondays through Fridays on Republic Broadcasting Network, and he's my good friend, Dr. A. Truat. True, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Don. A pleasure to be on the show again. Hope everything's okay with you.
Just great. Still have people trying to debunk the messenger because of the intelligence agencies posting my planet Balqui photos on some sites and dating them 2006 and stuff like that. Just got an email like that before the show tonight. And of course, this exposes my dark side, one of these emails says. So these people will see. I will have vindication, let's put it that way, and I'm not really concerned. If people want to be brainwashed, in fact, the photo, one of the photos they're using to debunk my photos is an alleged copy of Mount Fuji. Actually, I saw a broadcast on PBS where they showed Mount Fuji for a whole hour, and it looks nothing like the photograph that I have published on my website. So poo-poo to Guy and Roxanne, okay? That's all I'm going to say. If I had their last name, I'd probably use it, but I don't. So how are things with you?
Keeping busy, Don. I just came back from a seminar in Vegas. I joined Ted Gunderson, and we had a good time. It was a good seminar and lecture on Saturday from 1 till about 6 o'clock. It covered a whole range of gamut of news stories, as you know. And if you listen to my radio show, we talked last Friday with Dr. Mike Castle. We also had communications with the director of the National Seismographic offices. There's a tremendous amount of swarming going on, is what it calls small earthquake and fault movements along the California fault lines.
Mm-hmm.
And the report that he put out through the 25th of this month, January, he says there's roughly a 44% chance of a major earthquake along that the San Andreas and even the Wasatch Front fault lines. Well, that's not really a big odds for an earthquake, but it's significant, and the information we dissected on Friday is the technology, the reports put out by Thomas Bearden and others, just pretty convincing. The woodpecker signals, etc., that can actually focus on creating and causing an earthquake, and knowing exactly where it can be the hardest hit in the epicenter, is also very easy to do now with the technology and computer programmings that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And people that you talk to about this, again, program, oh, you got to be kidding, this is all an act of God, it's all natural. Well, no, not if you understand the Tesla technology and the directed energy weaponry, the writings that Tesla put out, and even into the 1930s, it was very, very plausible, as he showed. And, of course, Bearden's report, the book called Ferdinand's, the directed energy weapons that the Soviet Union basically has utilized along with the United States, is just leaves very little doubt that there is the capabilities to cause these earthquakes. Now, we mentioned on the show, Don, why Haiti? It would seem the worst possible projection, place to cause this chaos, but there's reasons why Haiti, really. Even though it's classified as the poorest nation in the West, and almost fifth world status, for heaven's sakes, there's some interesting things there in Port-au-Prince, not the least of which is the United Nations Center there, that basically is an enclave of strong support for the people's not the People's Republic, the Republic of China, best known as Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at what where the biggest damage occurred, the Christopher Hotel, which is the headquarters of this group, the Office of the Americas, promoting the Taiwanese trade circles with the Americas from Canada to South America. That is where that was located, and that was where it was the hardest hit. That section of Port-au-Prince was just leveled, I understand. And the pictures coming out of the Christian Science Monitor of the Christopher Hotel, just devastating. So
yes.
I think that's what it was focused on for why it was Haiti. And there's no more trade delegation from Taiwan anymore. So,
yeah. Now, there's also the issue of the international banking cables being hubbed through Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones to Latin America, Africa, and Europe. They certainly can communicate in other fashions, but these are secured lines, evidently, and it's facilitated all of this massive embezzlement and theft that's been going on, this hypothecation, and the transference of illegal money or drug money put into the system to try to legitimize it and fill in the black holes created by all this massive theft.
That's an amazing point too, Don. If you look at the headings, just as I've researched it, even Wikipedia talks about how the biggest part of the economy in Haiti is these illegal drugs, cocaine, and all of that coming in. It's basically the place to for clearinghouse and transfer into the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting as well.
And they did this in a way that it sets it up for a military coup and a takeover of the central bank, because they're having problems using the central bank of Iraq in Baghdad, like they did when they first went over there and stole $100 trillion from it.
Mm-hmm.
All that money was recouped when they found the 7,000 lockboxes in London and in three major room-sized vaults. All the stolen artifacts, gold, and basically the cash, and I suppose securities and other things. But Hillary Clinton, even, there's a report that she went to Haiti to get her money out of the bank there, and it had already been removed. Somebody stole it from the account that, of course, was our money stolen, you see. So, or others internationally. This is nothing but the organized crime, again. That's all it is. And they're using these high technologies to murder people, to destroy the infrastructure of the country. And this is not the first time that's happened, is it?
No. And the, if these authors are correct, which I believe they are, and this is a directed energy weapon, it could very well be a dry run, Don, for what is being planned for California and the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
Into Idaho and even into Utah. Again, the other thing that I find fascinating is that the International Monetary Fund had basically just stopped trying to collect over $2 billion in loans there in Haiti, and they basically wrote it off just as they're writing off these massive loans to California and the housing market there. It seems, well, here's a chance. Well, this earthquake has basically done the job of bulldozers and just to clear it out and rebuild the way we want to. And what's funny, too, is you look at what's happening just today, the announcement of hundreds of thousands of refugees being sent into Florida and basically brought in to America, giving them and announcing that any boat people, so to speak, Haitian immigrants, or even those in jail, are given amnesty. So, again, there we go with more of the flood of illegal immigration. Basically, now it's because it's a humanitarian thing. Now it's okay.
Yeah. Now we've got this situation in Texas. In fact, I was on Drew Rain's show today, a Marines disquisition, and he brought up what's going on in Texas, that they're trying to take the guns away from the people by stopping the sale of guns at these gun shows.
Mm-hmm.
That their charge is that Mexicans are buying the guns and taking them over the border, and it's contributing to crime in Mexico. Wait a minute. It seems to me the problem's not the guns at the gun show. It's letting the Mexicans get over the border in the first place.
Right.
And I shouldn't just single out the Mexicans. It's illegal aliens. I mean, they're encouraging this. If you're eating a bowl of cereal and you pour rotten milk on it, Obviously, you ruined the cereal, okay? The fault is not that you were trying to eat cereal or that you poured cereal in the bowl. It's the spoiled milk or the soured milk. Change it. Do something else. But, you know, the thing is, don't put it in there. Don't let them in the country. But that's not the intention. The intention is to ruin this country and to disarm the people in the process, to make it a third world country. So their logic is, again, a more Hegelian dialectic. But come on, use just a modicum of sense. The issue is not the gun shows. It never was a problem before. If the problem is the people sneaking into the country and with their permission, you see?
Right.
So this is all intentional. And these are acts of treason, all of this, allowing this to happen. Just breaking the law, committing felonies, you know, the people that work there on the borders certainly must know that this is going on. But they have to spin it. They have to spin the story to make us mind-controlled robots, that we don't even react to any of this. And that's certainly not how I feel, nor how you feel. And many, many other people around the world are waking up to what's going on.
Well, we have here in Utah this continuing story of a group of Haitians that settled here in Utah, and they have relatives back there, and so they're constantly on the news and this, you know, hearing, hoping that their family and their children are all fine. But they made the comment that it was on the radio this morning as I run off the road. They said, hurricane. That hits us, you know, nobody ever bothers about the deaths and the problems of the hurricane, but this earthquake has just been the best thing that God could ever bring to this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, you know, look at all the hype and the promotions. You know, it seems like, there's not a year goes by, it's not battered and, hurricanes don't destroy something, but there's nothing to compare with this, the loss of life, and now with this earthquake, and now it's like it's the best thing that ever happened in this nation. Now people are giving to us, but it's not about giving, is it? It's about getting people working again, and not giving them a free socialized tit, basically.
Yeah,
it's just so backwards, Don. It's just crazy.
Well, but, you know, it's paralleled in the White House. You know, Obama's case now is in the Supreme Court over the issue of his financial aid as a Fulbright scholarship recipient, and that he had to have claimed foreign citizenship at that time.
Well,
now, the media is not reporting it, you know, but certainly they've read my research on it. And if I swear, if that was taken into a court of law, just the examination I did on the documents and the photos, it'd be enough it'd be a cinch to have him convicted. A cinch.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, that's what we talked about when I was in at the seminar that we did in Vegas. It's got to be clearly understood that the founding fathers and when they put that into the Constitution, it's was debated, and there is very much a spiritual, almost a soul connection to the land and to the people if you are naturally born. That's the reason for that being the prerequisite for the office of president. And it's not something minor that you can just play around with and say, well, it's outdated. It's not relevant today. It's no more than ever. It's relevant. The case in point is Kennedy. Okay, if you look at the history of Joe Kennedy and the Kennedy family, you know, they were definitely into smuggling liquor during the Prohibition. They were most definitely tied to the mobsters and that on the eastern seaboard and into Chicago. And so the organized crime figures thought, well, I'm sure they thought with the CIA that this would be a great puppet for them to work with and use. But But I submit Kennedy had a conscience and had an awakening, had a spiritual awakening, and realized that this was not something that he could be a part of, bringing America down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I think Bobby Kennedy had that same spirit, too.
Mm-hmm.
And is it any coincidence? Here we are. This is still in your part of the country, Martin Luther King's Jr.'s birthday. And, you know, there's a third person that tried changing things in this country and was murdered.
Right.
By the same group that's involved in all this corruption today. Same people. Same names, same people. And enough is enough. It's got to stop. People have to rise up and quit being so complacent and apathetic. Now, there are reasons for people being that way. And a lot of it is mind control and the type of conditioning. We talked a little bit about some of the technology. The HARP system, as I understand it, has at least 20 sister stations around the planet, which I guess are sort of like repeaters would be in a microwave system or in any type of transmission system where they can collect a signal and target it at a particular area, which was likely what occurred with Haiti. And then they could consistently keep another frequency on a whole nation of people, or the whole planet for that matter, running different frequencies simultaneously. And you had written a piece on the Sound of Silence, a technology that was used in the Iraq War. And we had discussed on a past show, I don't remember if it was last week or the prior show, but we had decided that we were going to give you the opportunity to present that information to the listeners.
You bet, absolutely. The Sound of Silence is called the Silent Sound Spectrum, or Quad S. The technology is actually under patent by a Thomas Lowry, and as I pulled the patent and read it, it's just absolutely mind-boggling, the capabilities and the possibilities that this S-Quad technology uses. Now, during Gulf War I, when Saddam Hussein was promising the mother of all battles, again, the third largest standing army at the time, I'm not sure exactly how many seasoned troops they had, but it was significant. They were bunkered in and ready for a major engagement. And yes, indeed, the coalition of forces that Bush had assembled were expecting the likelihood of quite high casualties. We're talking as many as 20 to 30,000 dead and expelling them from Kuwait and the battle that would ensue. Well, it never happened. This great mother of all battles never materialized. And it's come to light that one of the primary reasons for that was the unleashing of this silent S-Quad, silent sound technology. Now, what it basically is a series of pre-programmed frequencies. The Delta Force team, I guess, had gotten behind the lines and infiltrated into one of the radio stations there and took the silent sound technology and put it into the broadcast to the Iraqi troops in the positions, and over I think a 72-hour period, they had so completely brainwashed the Iraqi troops that they just came out of the bunkers and surrendered en masse. This was a very, very powerful and successful weapon, and I got to tell you, Don, that it saved many thousands, if not tens of thousands, of soldiers' lives, not only in America but on the Iraqi side as well. But the point is, the technology was proven to be very, very effective, and it has not been hidden away since then. It has been used in many different arenas, covertly and even not so covertly. You look at the inauguration ceremonies of Obama last January. I had some friends and contacts who had received a permit to protest the policies of the socialist that's in the office, not the least of which was some people claiming his homosexuality and his neurolinguistic programming, his basically hypnotic use of NLP, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were given a permit to protest. If you remember correctly, there was a big concerts and celebrity shows there on the mall, but they were given a specific area in which to protest, and there was a huge jumbotron screen set up, and then as they were setting up, here comes these looks like military vans bringing in these huge loudspeaker type of carriers, okay? They set them up along with the jumbotron, and then they turned the jumbotron on, and the speakers started to buzz and move around, and the reports I had is that everybody that was there to protest got violently ill. They had stomach cramps and loose bowels, and there weren't that many porta potty johns available, so they basically vacated the area. And that happened all on the days leading up to and through the inauguration. I believe fully that was the first time that these silent sound technologies were actually deployed for, you know, to make a successful inauguration without any protest. Made the appearance that everybody was there, not like the Bush administration. The result were all of these, the second inauguration, where there were all these heavy protests. None of that was there, according to the media, at the Obama inauguration. Well, I think there's a definite story behind the story there. In the book by John Ronson called The Men Who Stare at Goats, which, by the way, the movie with George Clooney is not anywhere near the hardcore truth the book put out, and it's kind of cheapened it, quite frankly. But the story that Ronson talks about is going back to the events during the first Gulf War. One of the central characters in the book is Major General retired Albert Stubblebean, and his interviews with Ronson, talking about the Abu Ghraib prisons and the torture that was all going on over there with the CIA, with certain black op forces. The comment was made in the book. The Stubblebean said if he didn't understand why, instead of torturing these prisoners in the Iraqi prisons, why they just didn't use the S-Quad technology on them, because it says it's so advanced now, we can have people get physically ill, it can cause their bowels to be loose, we can, you know, even cause heart attacks or other bigger problems. So that's the real danger of the S-Quad technology, Don. It can not only be utilized, again, like we just talked about, in the jumbotron crowd control, but the technology has advanced from the original patent by Lowry into the high-definition HD TV signals that are now broadcast. The digital signals carry a much greater bandwidth to allow the S-Quad technology to be piped right into people's homes if the government so sees fit to do that.
Yeah, and certainly they're not interested in the quality of our infomercials and TV commercials, which seem to take up more than 50% of the total airtime now, amongst other things. And this technology can be used on the radio and in cell phones.
In fact, the HD TV signals actually come through better in the analog sequences. If you're watching, I myself have noticed in sporting goods or sporting events, the Utah Jazz broadcast through digital, the picture quality has been a whole lot worse, a whole lot worse. In fact, it goes into the pixels and you know, it's for the most part not at all about the picture quality, but more about carrying the capacity of these extra low frequency programming waves as needed.
Yeah, these are I guess you could call them sub carriers that are set up on these various bands.
Right.
They've doubled or tripled the number of those bands that are there. Now, people aren't tuning into those, but they're in operation. And they can bleed those through any particular channel they choose.
Right. Now, the ground wave emergency network towers were established quite a few years ago to network from Maine to California. Every square inch of this country is now covered by these ground wave digital signals. Now, the reason why this is nefarious to me is the ability to track people that are microchipped now is fully capable. The technological hardware is all in place now to do that. So if we have a requirement because of economic collapse or heaven forbid an earthquake wipes out the economy of the West, and then everything else falls like dominoes, the new currency being a microchip population, the ground wave emergency network and the greatly expanded digital signal strengths can track every mammal and child, and there's no secrets anymore, no privacy. It's all open to Big Brother.
Yeah, well, they're the ones that keep the secrets these days anyway, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's, what else can be done is, if you're hooked into the system, as most everybody is now with the telecommunications and even, cellular phones, working into the ground wave emergency network, the technology does exist that once you're microchipped, that a specific frequency can be generated, sent to your home. You know, every mammal and child in this country and in the world has its own unique energy signature, vibratory frequency, basically, based on your cells and DNA. It's just as everybody has their own fingerprint, so too do they have their own unique frequency. Now, once this is all into a major database, Don, they could say, well, Mr. Nikoloff is out of touch with our programming. He needs to be shut down completely and permanently. And this can be directed and actually done. Now, you and I know what happened to our good friend in North Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
That's just another example of how this could be operated.
Yeah. Well, it depends a lot upon fear, too. that fear factor is what they're counting on. And fear is just an illusion.
Right.
And I see it that way, and I say it that way because that's how I know it to be. So these things do not have to happen. Of course, you're talking about their plans and what they've created, what they've developed, and what they've used, and what they are using. But I tend to think that the forces of good, the forces of light in the universe themselves are going to collapse on top of all of this at some point. And they will have an eternity of experiencing their own toys. I really,
right.
That's what I hold in my heart to see that happen. So,
well, I think it's right. There's a woman named Gail Smith who I've interviewed twice on my show, but she has an incredible story. Beginning in the latter part of the 1960s, she had a number of out-of-body experiences where her deceased sister had actually came and basically took her on an astral voyage. And eventually she was given a gift of she could see the future. And again, it's not set in stone by any means. It's based on what is, you know, if nothing in the world changes, just like the story of Scrooge and the Christmas Carol, it doesn't need to have the same ending that's foretold or foreseen. If people's hearts and minds and the quantum consciousness changes, things can surely change as well. But back in the early 90s, Gail was shown the series of earthquakes that would completely ravage the whole West. Simultaneously with that would be a worldwide economic collapse and complete and total martial law here in America. An absolute nightmare of a vision that was shown to her. And back then, as I, you know, in the early 90s, when I met her and interviewed her and listened to her on the radio, all of these things sounded completely out in left field. There would not, be any possibility of this happening, I thought, because she even made mention she was shown that these earthquakes are man-made, the weaponry and the technology to do that. She was shown that as well. And now we have seen through whistleblowers such as Thomas Bearden, retired colonel, Air Force colonel, the whistleblowing of Bearden and others, now we know this is reality, very much so. And so the vindication of Gail Smith and her, what she has seen is very apparent.
Now, there's always the possibility, and I don't intend to sound like I'm trying to debunk what she's saying, but there's always the possibility that the message is coming from elsewhere, and it's panning out because of where it's coming from.
It's hard to say exactly the way in which it comes, and and the author of it, this is open for debate, no doubt about it. But
yeah. I've listened to her speak. I mean, she's very convincing, and I intuit that she's got a good heart, and these are very real experiences. But when you talk about the technologies, like we were talking about a little while ago, this technology using the sound waves to subliminally or even on some conscious level. I mean, this was something that happened to her in the astral plane. Now, if this was a totally conscious astral experience, which I've had before, it's a valid experience. Unless you know that someone is creating that for you. And we hear about many, many people, and I'm not attacking Gail. I'm just saying that a lot of the channeled messages that come through are reporting the things that you read in books or that come out of secret government documents down the road. You know, somehow sure. They're leaked out or somebody discovers them. And the point I'm making is that you really have to be discerning. The way I see it is these things don't have to happen. It's very possible that they are going to happen. I've had visions, and I've had those things come to pass in my own life. The visions were about my life. They weren't necessarily about everyone else's, because we all have free will, and we can create our own reality. We can amass together, network together, and create a reality based on a sound purpose and upon sound spiritual principles. And I'm not saying what she's saying is not sound. She's seen something. We've had a lot of people on this show who predicted massive earthquakes in the past 2 years that have not occurred. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, they're giving me reasons why these things didn't occur. And certainly you can't blame these things on God. You can't blame man's corruption on God.
Oh, yeah, but see, that's again... What she has said is this is a group of evil men that are trying to mold the earth into their image. And, as far as she hasn't really, I wouldn't say channeled is not the right thing. She was just basically taken and shown the time-space continuum. Mm-hmm. And, the spirit world, which is the real world, as she explains. More real than this illusion we live in this dimension right now. So, yeah, there's, she's always said time is irrelevant, in that astral plane. There is no motion of time.
That's
so,
correct.
So how in the world can you make a prediction of a time, space? And she's always said that from day one. There's never been a specific time given, though she has seen clues of it will happen in winter, in time of cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be anywhere from November through February probably.
Yeah.
Then to have this Hopi friend come, this young Hopi man who had a very interesting series of visions himself. And to hear him say exactly, I mean, it's almost like they're reading the same script. And then we put them together and have them meet and they compare notes. It's quite amazing. Quite amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not trying to debunk.
Yeah, I understand.
Because I've listened to her and her heart is in the right place. She seems to be very discerning and what she's seen seems to be very real.
If she wants divine intervention, we've discussed whether it's in what form that would come, and the so-called Galactic Federation, she says it's not at all out of reality in her mind, because she was also shown the hundreds of planets that give homage to Jesus Christ, and she saw all of that, so...
Yeah,
yeah,
which is also synchronous and paralleled in my particular story.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those, there's a handful of people. When I think of the billions of people, there are a handful of people that have gone out of their way to try to debunk the information I brought forth as if somehow I'm trying to hoodwink the world, okay? And we know who does that already. It's been going on for thousands of years here, so I don't take offense. Those that want to tell me that I've let them down, that this is a character flaw, this is my dark side, that I've stolen photographs. I've not stolen any photographs, not in the least. In fact, to me, these emails or communications from people I don't know that want to criticize me, that want to attack the messenger, are examples of intel operatives. And they don't use their names. They don't send a picture. You know, they hide behind the cloak of electronic security. And really, it shows their spineless nature. That's all I can say. What accolades can I give someone that doesn't want to identify themselves when they criticize me? And it doesn't dishearten me. It shows me that I'm doing the right thing, that so many people can come and attack the messenger when the truth is coming out. True, you know I'm telling the truth about the United Galactic Federation. You know that.
Well, I have a completely open mind. I don't discount that it's true or false. I'm saying it's as plausible as any other explanation to me personally. And I have to say that objectively, Don, because I haven't met him. I don't know until I see, touch, feel, and you know, I'll take the testimony of people that say China's there, but I hope it's there. I believe it's there, but until I set foot and see it, I don't know 100% it's there.
Yes, I understand. Well, see, yeah. It's in the realm of everyone's individual experience, isn't it?
Yeah.
And because one doesn't have the experience does not give them the right to criticize or to slander the one that does have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah. You know, there's so much evidence, for instance, on the Hollow Earth theories and credible stories to me from Admiral Byrd and his expeditions about people that had family members that were part of German U-boat operations down in Antarctica under the ice. Reports that the whole U-boat crews went into a new place never to be seen again, but did it by design. There is so much information that leads me to believe that many of these supposed UFO sightings are not from outer space. Could very likely be from our inner world or inner space where technology is advanced, and they just don't like what's going on the outside of the planet per se.
Well, we've got people from all over this galaxy and different parts of the universe watching what's going on here on planet Earth now.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed this many, many times on this show. Every color, every flavor you can imagine, okay? And there are evil beings everywhere. There is evil everywhere. And there are good beings. And there is light and goodness everywhere. And we will see it. We will see it. You know, Gail, I know she's talked about this to some extent, but others have talked about it. And there, I can tell you from my personal experience that there is a lot of disinformation out there to muddy the waters, to make it sound like anybody who talks about this is crazy. All the while, we have a space agency that goes out into space. Under what pretext?
Mm-hmm.
Looking for intelligent life? And I've often said, begin your search here on the planet, okay? When you find it here, then you've earned the right to go elsewhere. In the meantime, you know, if you're afraid of the truth coming out, then you shouldn't be doing what you're doing now, because you're doing it under the pretext of discovering the truth.
Well, I talked to a pilot, that made a lot of, he's a commercial air pilot who flies across the Yukon and northern hemispheres, and I just asked him one time, what do you think about these Hollow Earth theories, the Admiral Byrd story? And he says, oh, it's ridiculous, there's no way it could be, and yada yada. And I said, well, why? You've flown over there enough. He says, well, then there's no hole, there's no opening there. I said, but you're flying at what, 30,000 feet or more, and you're looking down over ice and cloud banks. You know, think about it. You've got an opening at the polar area, roughly 400 miles as it curves gradually inward. And if as the reports show, that it's a very tropical, humid environs there, you're talking about when warm air hits a cold air mass, you have perpetual fog and thick, heavy clouds. And yes, indeed, over that one region, it's perpetually fog-bound. I mean, you're looking at even 500,000 feet above the ground, you're going to be not being able to see it, let alone 30,000 feet. So, golly, there's a lot of things we just don't know, and to be 100% sure, you'd have to explore it and find out for yourself, but
mm-hmm.
keep an open mind. That's all I can tell people.
Yeah. In late 2008 and early 2009, I had a guest on this show, Billy Woodard, who's from California. This is a hermaphrodite, I must mention also. This
uh-huh.
is important to mention. And that Billy claimed to have been born in the inner earth and brought out to the surface to sort of bring people together and,
really?
And then take this information back down into the inner earth. And I asked Billy where she went into the earth.
And
she, yes,
she.
Well, she preferred to be called a she because she was going through a sex change, series of sex change operations.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, in her deep voice, she
oh,
said that they instructed her to go to Mount Shasta, and she went through an entrance underneath Mount Shasta. Now, I've heard this story from others before.
Right.
She was going to take Dr. Brooks Agnew, who has a show on BBS Radio, by the way, down there, but they were going to go via the North Pole. He was going to have an expedition. I understood it was to take place in August. I don't think it did of last year. I didn't hear anything about it. Then he said there's a time soon when they're going to come out. They have to open up this hole at the North Pole. And it's a difficult thing, but they're going to do that. And I said, Billy, why would they go to all that trouble if they could take you down to this the inner earth through this opening in Mount Shasta, and they can bring you back up through that opening? Why don't they just use that opening? He couldn't answer that question, of course. That was the last time I had Billy on the show, by the way. There were just too many inconsistencies in the story. Now,
yeah.
I can think outside the box, but I do use a little bit of logic in doing so.
Well, if you believe the story of Janssen, the Norwegian explorer who took his ship into it, if the Admiral Byrd Journal is accurate at all, there's an actual book I've got called The Inner Earth, and the evidence is presented there quite convincingly in many cases, but there's no need to open up anything. It's already there. I mean, you're talking, if you drive a stretch of freeway down 400 miles, a gradual curve into that could be hardly discernible. You know, it's almost like going down into a gorge in a valley and continuing down for 400 miles. That
yeah.
is basically what, and you're talking about a huge fog-bound, eternally fog-bound and very heavy fog.
Mm-hmm.
Janssen reports, sailing into it, but being, you talk about pea soup type of fog, and with the ocean, there's times when it's was opened in the summertime where it was not icebound to the point where they can actually get through it. The story he recounted is just absolutely incredible. First person, no reason to lie. He circumnavigated the whole interior and came out through the southern tip, as he explains. And the story is just amazing. The book by the same name recounts truths that, for instance, if you're in the northern part of the globe towards the Arctic Circle, when the north wind blows, it's a mild warming wind, not vice versa. which is amazing. And I remember the story told by Lindsay Nelson about a huge, when he was there at the Prudhoe Bay oil camps.
Oh, you mean Lindsay Williams?
Lindsay Williams, I'm sorry.
Lindsay Nelson was a sportscaster.
That's right, Lindsay Williams. but anyway, there was a huge drift. It was common for these huge driftwood logs to come ashore there, and the Inuit, the natives, would look for those. But that was they would chop them up immediately for firewood. There, in that tundra region, there's not much huge trees to be floating in as driftwood. But in one instance, this very, very large log came ashore. The natives started cutting it up immediately for firewood, but it was a lot of it was hollow. And lo and behold, inside of this log was a gigantic, absolutely gigantic frog or toad that was just huge. And this was witnessed. So, you know, these type of stories should not be dismissed with just, it's just not possible.
Yeah, well, you know, people are easily swayed to one type of belief system over another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the whole problem is, in belief. You know, we were promised change. Things change all the time. In fact, when change ceases, so does life. And yet everybody fell for that. Well, no one understood the reality of change. But what we weren't told was the second half, for the worse added to the end. You see?
Yeah, frying pan into the darn fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. But the truth will come out. It certainly will come out. And I suppose those that would criticize me for publishing photos of Planet Balqui on my website don't take issue with the phony photographs that BO put out. You know, I mean, these are amateurish compilations. Amateurish. I think a 5-year-old could do a better job on most of those. And it's quite obvious that it's all fraud. But that doesn't seem to bother anyone, that someone has taken the reins of a nation under fraudulent pretenses, corrupt, racketeering, organized crime pretenses, and can't even prove they're a human being, let alone a citizen of any country, and doesn't take issue with the very photographs that they put out. You know, and I did post those photos that were smeared on thousands of websites around the world. I did take the photos that I thought would best represent the fraudulent nature of who the guy is. And if he's listening, he knows I'm telling the truth. You see, they don't want to draw attention to the issue because it's the truth. But the minions that they send out to try to discredit us, you know, the public has a right to know that this goes on, that they're that uncomfortable that they have to keep bringing that story up. I should ask the Federation to buzz their house, is what I should do.
Well, I would like to take a ride myself. I just save me a seat. I want to go visit Balqui, and hopefully the fishing's good there.
Yes. And by nature, most volcanoes are conical in shape. However, the Balqui volcano that I posted on my website is a reddish color. And if you see video photography of Mount Fuji, you will see it looks nothing like that. It's a conical shaped volcano, but nothing like it, especially the color. And those that may be well-intentioned and feel that I should be criticized are merely ignorant of that fact, and they need to do more homework. Their research has proven that I'm a fraud. Well, then that shows me how good they are as researchers.
Well, there were so many people even back in Columbus's time when Columbus came back on his second voyage bringing back proof with as far as, you know, some Native Americans, they still had their naysayers and those that were either jealous or just wanting to drag his name down. They still didn't believe it, even after he brought back physical proof. So it's okay. People, you know, people have the right to their opinion.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they can keep their opinions to themselves. Well, Drew, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show.
Okay, yeah. This hour's went by very fast. It is that time. My pleasure, Don. It's always always good to talk to you.
Okay. I've got a breaking story, by the way, that I'd like to discuss with you off the air in the very near future, and it's regarding some health issues.
Very good. Fantastic.
I think you'll find it fascinating.
Good.
So I want to thank you for being on the show. Give out a website or show times, anything like that, so people can tune in and read up on some of your things.
Well, the show that I produce or host is called The Story Behind the Story. It runs on republicbroadcasting.org and Mountain Standard Time from 12 to 2. My business website is Mother Earth Minerals. It's meminerals.com, and you can get my publications, books, newsletters, and all of that there on that website. So thanks again, Don. It's a pleasure and privilege to be on your show.
Well, thanks for having you, and I look forward to your visit with us next week.
Thanks so much. Goodbye.
Okay. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Truat. A special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting Evident Footprints, as well as bbsradio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Don did the sound tonight. Usually I'm saying Seth Hendrick, but Don, the sound was great. Thank you very much. And to you in the listening audience, appreciate you tuning in. Join me again tomorrow night for another show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.